Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Christ is risen. The story that we hear this morning from Matthew is so different from the story that we heard last night at Easter Vigil in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, the tomb is empty. The beloved disciple comes in and runs in, and there's nobody there, and there's all of this panic that happens. And then in the other Gospels, the women are there in the garden. It all depends on which one you look at. But Matthew's version is sort of the streamlined, this is what happened. Just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. It's the first day of the week, and it's dawning already, where John starts in darkness. Matthew starts at sunrise. And who is it that goes to the tomb? Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. And in Matthew, there is the sort of almost Hollywoodish, earthquake that happens, a great trembling, and an angel of the Lord descends from heaven and rolls back the stone. And I love this picture. The angel rolls back the stone and sits on it as if to make a point. And the angel says what angels always say: do not be afraid. I know who you are looking for. You are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. Come, look. Look for yourself. Jesus is not here. And so, he's been laid to the dead, the angel says. And he says, go and tell the disciples that he's going ahead of you to Galilee, and there he will see you. And then in a kind of interesting Matthean twist, they go running back to tell the other disciples who are still waiting to have breakfast that Jesus will meet them in Galilee. And then it's almost like Jesus didn't trust that they got what the angel had to say. And Jesus appears to them in person and says, by the way, I really mean this. Greetings, Jesus says. And they fall at his feet and they touch him. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my disciples. As I was preparing for this sermon, I kept saying the same words over and over and over again. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, the angels say to the two women who go to that incredible, sad sepulcher, expecting to find the body of their master. Now 4 days old, 3 days old, but it's empty. He's resurrected. Don't be afraid. It may be that this Easter, more than any Easter I can remember in my lifetime, that those words may be the most salient for all of us. Do not be afraid. Does anybody watch television? I should ask, does anybody not watch television? Bless you, my child. You are not going to be afraid then. If you spend much time reading the news or watching television, I started about a year and a half ago, as we were coming out of the pandemic for the first time, second time, I don't know, 12th time, I began in my head to keep a mental track of how many commercials and how many programs were playing on our fears. Almost all of them. play up our fear. And even if you don't have that fear, we're going to help you have it. I've been watching a drug commercial for cervical cancer now for 2.5 years. I don't even have one of those, and I'm afraid. I mean, it's been so hammered into me that I'm starting to think, I could die of this. I need to talk to my doctor about it. There's so much of what we see and hear and live in these days that play to our deepest and even unknown fears. Fear of being poor. Fear of dying. But most of all, your fear of missing out. We even have a word for it now. Everybody say it together. That may be the most pervasive fear of all. If I don't buy a new car, I'll miss out on the new model. But if I do buy a new car, I'll miss out on a cheaper interest rate a little bit later. Or if I just wait, my car might break down and then I'll miss out on buying a new car. It's like it plays with your entire self. Should I buy a house? Should I rent? If I rent, I'll miss out on all of the equity. But then if I buy, then maybe my interest rate will go up and I won't have any equity. We're so conditioned in these days to be afraid. And I hear these words of the angels and of Jesus as being the seminal good news of Easter. Do not be afraid. What Matthew's trying to get to us and get us to understand, I think, most deeply is that when the women arrived at the tomb, they didn't arrive fearing that they would miss the great earthquake and the giant, you know, Jesus rising out of the dead in some kind of glory. They weren't afraid of missing out. They were afraid that they had already missed their master. They were afraid that what they had come to know and love had come to an end, and they were filled with grief. He was not there. But they don't miss out. Jesus and the angels come and they say, "Do not be afraid. I am with you. Go on your way." In this case, go back to Galilee. Go back home and I will meet you there. Don't be afraid. It's not that don't be afraid, it's all going to be okay, and we're going to gloss over all the hard stuff of life, and there will only be light from now on, and joy, and happiness. It's not that. It's that in the midst of our daily hurt, and joy, and love, and life, this Jesus who was raised from the dead will be with us in it. And for it forever. As I parsed out over those last couple of years, all of these commercials and programs that have been playing on my fears, I began to realize that I don't have to buy into it. And I don't have to live that way. And neither do you. The one thing I fear most of all now is missing out on a life of love. And that's an easy one to solve. Because this one named Jesus gave us all the love that we could possibly need. And I might not get a car at the right time, and I might not buy a house at the right time. I might just get cervical cancer. I don't know. But I know this. for those of us who do suffer from those things, who get cancer, who get hurt, who get abandoned, who get ignored, who lose everything, that Jesus has called every one of us to go into life, not just in Galilee, but around the world, to hold one another in the arms of Jesus. To bring comfort where there is fear, food where there is hunger, to stand with those who are in sorrow and who are hopeless, and to be Christ for one another. As long as we're willing to do that, as long as we're willing to hear that word of Jesus and to live it out in our daily life, as harsh and as horrible as things may seem right now, I truly believe that every one of you can make a difference. That you are the agents of the Holy Spirit who will remind the world that fear and death do not have dominion. And to borrow a phrase that I have come to love, love will out. Not love will win, because I'm not about winning and losing, but love will out. Love will out fear, outlast fear, outlive fear, outdo fear. And it is only through the love of Jesus Christ, that one who was not there that day in the tomb, for the express purpose of being here with you. So the tomb may be empty, but you are not. The tomb may be empty, but the world is not. And the tomb may be empty, but our hope is not. So that together, every day, not just during Easter, we can proclaim, Christ is risen. Amen. Since you've been sitting way too long, I invite you to rise and sing together the hymn of the day. It is number 389 in the Cranberry ELW.